I gotta tell you just a little something new that's bringing the joy to my heart these days are the dudes that we have, because we've had like a security team for a while, but the dudes in the security shirts are just bringing it, aren't they? Aren't they? Chad, just stand up. Chad and Dave, stand up. Just stand up and kind of give. Do what you were doing for me last week. I walked in the front door of the church last week, and he was standing there, and I was like, nobody is messing with him. That's awesome. So, good stuff. Thank you guys for serving in so many different ways. The truth is these guys have been serving doing this. You may not realize this, but we keep several dudes kind of on guard all the time. Just to kind of help protect our kids and our kids' ministries and everything, and in both services. It doesn't matter, you know, you see these guys in here, it just means that there's other guys out there doing it now. So it's very awesome of you guys to serve that way. You know, you may want to join them in that too. Anyway, today is a little bit different morning than normal, a little bit different service than normal. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're going to get to be a part of this morning, because I think this morning is going to be a very special service. And as we kind of go through this, I just want to encourage you. There's going to be some time where I'm going to have Ben come and share a little bit about what God's been doing in their heart to lead them into planting a church. And there's going to be a time in the service where I'm going to invite any of you that are willing and welcome to do so to come and pray over the team that's going to be going out to plant the new church in East Nashville. And it's just a cool morning. It's just not something that a lot of churches get to be a part of. I mean, there's a lot of churches, and there's a lot of talk and a lot of static, honestly, about, you know, you need to be a church planting church and all this stuff. And from the beginning of 24, we said we wanted to do that. The truth is, it's easy to say it. It's another thing to have it built into the DNA of your church. And, you know, I know that when I moved back to first start the church, I got to be honest with you, there was part of me that really wanted to plant a church in Nashville. I grew up in the big city of Jolton, but I went to college in Nashville, and I spent so many of my days just hanging out in Nashville that I have a love for that city. And so when we were planting the church, my heart was kind of torn, honestly. But I knew that God wanted us to plant here. And part of the reason was I felt like, number one, there was a huge need, a huge, huge need. Nobody was planting churches here. Then secondly, I felt like that God was going to use us to plant this church here so that we could more quickly plant multiple churches elsewhere, including places like Nashville, Clarksville, Springfield, Ashland City, wherever it may be, truthfully all over Middle Tennessee and abroad. Was kind of the hope and goal, but you know, there was definitely like definite things of these cities. We're definitely going to try to plant churches in these cities, and so it's a cool thing to finally get to see that come about. And really, it doesn't matter what you do. At the end of the day, God has to work in those people's hearts. It doesn't. You know, there's nothing that I can do as the pastor of our church, you know, necessarily to just say, well, now we're just going to go. We're going to go plant this church. God has to be working in some people's hearts to do some of that stuff, and so He's been doing that. We're gonna talk about some of that stuff. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, raise your hand. We've got some ushers that will come and bring you a Bible. Just raise it up there and just hold it up, and our ushers will bring those to you, and just keep them up there. They'll get you one, and we're going to turn to the book of Luke this morning, the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 10. This is the place where I'm supposed to do announcements. I'm not doing any announcements this morning. Get the email. That's what I'm going to tell you. Get the email. Sign up for the email. If you're not on the email list, then you're missing all the announcements. There's stuff, there's money due for trips and all kinds of stuff. Get the email. Sign up. By the way, on the deal with the Bibles, if you don't own a Bible, we want you to know that you can take that Bible. We want to give that to you. And if you do own a Bible, then great. And you don't have to, you know, you can borrow it when you're here and continually leave yours at home for whatever reason you do that for. I'm not trying to make you feel bad or anything. But no, seriously, if you need a Bible, we want you to take that one. It'd be a gift to you. Let me pray about this and pray over this passage, and let's just seek the Lord together for a minute. God, I thank you. Thank you for your word. God, I thank you for how it encourages us, it rebukes us, It helps us to test ourselves. God, it just checks us. God, we need that. It guides us. God, we need that. We need you to show us who we're supposed to be in light of who you are, not who we're supposed to be in light of who we want to be, God, but in light of who you are. And God, that's so important today. God, I pray that just through your word this morning, through our time together, God, I just pray, Lord, that it would all glorify you. We love you. In your name I pray. Amen. And just in case I forget to say this at the end of the service, at the end of our services these days, if you want to talk about Jesus, you want to pray, pastors and counselors alike hang out down here in the front. We will be here. That's after every service. But just in case, sometimes I forget to say that. I'm saying it now on the front end so that if you do need to come and talk or pray, we'll be here for you, waiting for you. We want to be accessible, so just so that you know that. This morning, this passage that we're looking at is out of Luke chapter 10. This passage kind of falls after Jesus has just recently sent out his disciples. And, you know, I think that this is a cool passage because I love the model that Jesus is setting for us as a church and as believers. I think for us to see this and for us to want to try to grab onto this thing is so important. Kind of put this in perspective for you. There's a lot of churches, and I'm not trying to dog anybody's church or anything, but there's a lot of churches that have kind of gotten to where they do the opposite of what we see in this passage of Scripture today. They want to try to build their own kingdom. And I don't necessarily mean just, you know, building huge buildings or, you know, whatever it may be. But their goaling is, you know, that, you know, they try to get as many people as possible to come. And obviously we want to reach the lost. We want to reach as many people as we possibly can for the sake of Christ. But there's a difference. They want to reach as many people as they can, but they don't want to send any out. They want to keep everybody. And to be real honest with you, that's not a very biblical model of the church. You know, we've talked a lot about the church gathered and scattered, and we're scattered throughout the week, but we're still the church and all that kind of stuff. But then even further more than that, we see in passages like this and passages just previously before this passage where Jesus sends the disciples, where he is setting in motion a model, a thing for us to look at of what it means for us to send out people to do the work and the ministry of God. You know, I grew up in traditional church and Baptist church and all that kind of stuff. And you know, one of the things that we heard a lot about were missionaries. We heard about missionaries that were going overseas, and you know, they were, you know, missionaries were kind of like rock stars back in the day, and they would like come into church, and you know, I always thought it was crazy because like you'd have like this guy that grew up in your church, and then he'd go be a missionary, and he'd like go to Thailand or something, and he'd come back, and when he came back, he'd be wearing like a big long purple silk robe or something, you know, and you're just going like, you're the only dude that could walk in here today and do that, and we not just make fun of you, you know. And it's just kind of this crazy thing. Well, you know, it's I think for us to understand that we are all called to that kind of work. If we know Jesus as our Savior, we are missionaries. When we first started the church, when we first started 24 Church, one of the things that I had a conversation with a lot of people, we had lots of people, and some of them didn't make the ride. And some of it, I think God intended that to be the case, because some of them were church folk. They were church people. Now, I'm church people. You know what I'm talking about? We grew up in church, and we know church, and you know all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, one of the things that I had to do as the pastor of our church at that time was I had to talk with these people and help them to understand that they were welcome to be a part of what we were going to be doing, but the truth is that we weren't going to cater to them. It wasn't going to be about them. And we often, and sometimes we're guilty of this, we often are guilty of, you know, like bringing our, you know, thing with us, our church baggage, whatever it may be, and along and go, well, you know, this is what I need in a church. And the truth is, and some of that is legitimate, but the truth is a lot of it is not. A lot of it is self-seeking, self-honoring, self-glorifying, and it has nothing to do whatsoever with the mission of God, with the kingdom of God. I think for us, we have to pay attention that we don't get in that mindset that the church is for us. It is not for us. It is not for me. The church is not for me. The church is not for you. The church is here for Jesus. The church is here for Jesus. And so what that means is that we're on his mission, and his mission is to advance his kingdom by spreading the gospel. So for us as a church to come around that, for us to understand that means, and this is kind of what I had to do a lot of back in the day, I'd have to look at these people and go, well, I know that you've been involved in church all your life. That's awesome. Tell me about that. And they'd tell me a story and they'd say, well, you know, we're just finally glad that there's going to be a church here that's going to do X. And some of that it was legitimate concern. Again, some of it was, you know, they're just being honest, and I appreciated that. But sometimes I had to look at some of those folks and say, you know what? You may be better off at another church. Because the people that are going to be a part of starting 24 Church have to be missionaries. And I'll be real honest with you. I still feel that way. Now, you may be sitting here today, and you may be going, well, you know, I'm Chris, I just come on Sunday mornings, and I just want to hear good preaching, and I like the good music. That's not being the church. Being the church is living out what God has called us to do as missionaries for his kingdom, for the sake of his gospel. This morning we have this picture of this in Luke 10. And in Luke 10, I want us just to read together through this. And it says this in verse 1. It says, after the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them ahead of him two by two into every town and place where he himself was about to go. I think there's a lot of cool stuff to that verse. And, you know, just thinking about, you know, that he's sending them to the places where he's going to go and all this. But you look at some of that, and he's sending them two by two. So, you know, no one is going out alone, but they have one another. I think that proves the need that we have for community, which, by the way, for us, church, is not just Sunday morning community. We need community with one another to be on mission together. That's why a bunch of people are in church today and they're not on mission for God. They have no community with other believers. They're challenging them toward that. So you have a bunch of people that just show up at church. Verse 2, it says, and he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And we're just going to stop right there. I mean, we've got Jesus here himself, you know, and he is sending these people out, sending out 72 people in pairs, and he's sending them out to proclaim the gospel. You know, for us, I think, if you're like me, you grew up in a church, if you did grow up in a church, when you hear the term missionary, you automatically think about like the dude in the purple robe. Now, I've got a friend right now, it's in Thailand, and I'm going to get to hang with him here in April. And he's a missionary. He moved there to be a missionary. And he's faithful. God has used them to do some great things. And now he's trying to help start church plants in Thailand. I mean, some crazy stuff going on there. And it's, you know, we're not talking about a country that's just open to Christianity here. This is a big deal. But I think for us, if we're not careful, we get ourselves hung up on this, you know, well, missionaries are only those people that go, you know, across the seas and go over there and they're sharing the gospel in those places. And that's true, but the truth is that it is no different than the ministry that each and every one of us are called to right here. You know, the people that are going to be going to plant this church in East Nashville, Basilea, the people that are going to go and plant this church, those people have to have a missionary mindset. You can't go into that going, you know, well, I'm excited about this new church and I'm excited to see what it's going to do for me. Let me tell you what it'll do for you. It'll do the same thing that every other church will do for you, and that's fail you. Because the church is full of sinners, people, and we fail one another. The truth is that this isn't about what it can do for us. It's about what we can do for the kingdom and for the glory of God. This passage, as Jesus is teaching this, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You know, that rings so true for me. I read that verse and I think about this one period in our church's life here just several years ago where, you know, when we first started the church here, you know, we were just like, hey, let's just go. We want to just go reach people for Jesus. There's tons of lost people and we got to go reach them for Jesus. And so we're like gung-ho, you know, just going after it. And next thing we know, man, we're reaching people and, man, we're just seeing people come to Jesus. I mean, it's crazy. It was awesome. And then we kind of woke up one day and we realized we had this huge crowd of people that the large majority of them were either they didn't know Jesus or they were new in their faith and they needed people to pour into them. So all of a sudden we kind of find ourselves going, oh, well now we need people to help do the work of the ministry. And so we had to do this. We had to pray. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And sometimes we have to do that. These guys that are going to be planting in East Nashville will be doing the same thing. They will be praying, and we will be praying along with them that God provides the people to do the work of the ministry, to be able to fulfill what God is calling them to do. Verse 3, go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Now, this verse right here, I would say, is part of the reason why there are lots of people that call themselves Christians, but they are not involved in doing any type of ministry for the kingdom of God. We're scared. We're scared. You know, we can kind of mask it several different ways. We can say, well, I'm too busy. I've got too much going on. I don't have time. Which, by the way, kind of goes against the whole point of why God created us. If you didn't know, God created us for his glory. And so if we're missing out on God being glorified in our lives, we are completely missing out on the reason we were created. We're completely missing the life that God has intended for us to live. You know, for us to look at this, for us to even just think about this, I think we have to be honest with ourselves. You know, Jesus is saying it, but the laborers are few. And the truth is the laborers are not really always few. They're just deadbeat laborers. They're just not willing to do the work that God is calling them to. You say, well, Chris, I'm not a pastor, and I'm not a missionary, and I'm not... And listen, do you love Jesus? Did he save you? Then you are a minister of the gospel. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are a minister of the gospel. No, it may not be on a stage. Maybe where you work. Maybe your school. Maybe your friends, your family, whatever it may be. But you are a minister of the gospel to wherever God has placed you in this world. That's part of your purpose. You go on through this. Says verse 4, it says, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. And there's a whole lot of stuff with this passage we're not going to be able to jump into today because of some of the things we're going to do here in just a minute. And so please forgive me for that. But, you know, right here off the bat, you know, Jesus is just saying, don't be worried about your stuff. Don't be worried about your stuff. Just go and do what I've called you to do. And not only that, but he's also saying this, you know, and greet no one on the road. Now, what he's not saying is he is not saying be a snob and don't talk to people. And you got to kind of have the context of this to understand that back then at that point in time, the, you know, kind of the traditional greeting was this really long, drawn-out greeting. And Jesus was basically saying, look, go and do what I've called you to do and don't waste your time. And I don't know about you, but that's convicting to me. That convicts my heart to hear that, to think that, to think, you know, how much of my time do I waste just doing petty stuff? That's not to say we can't enjoy life. I mean, we're supposed to have joy and supposed to enjoy things. But at the end of the day, when we're not doing any work whatsoever for the kingdom of God, we got to wake up to that. I love this in verse 5. It says, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And it's talking about, you know, basically that you would go and that you would share the love of Christ, that you would share the gospel message. Jesus is what brings peace. He's saying, go and share peace into any house that you go into. And in some houses, it's going to rest upon some, and in some, it's not. And we know that. We know that this is true. We know that some people are going to receive Jesus, and others are not. Others are not going to believe, and others are not going to want to have anything to do with him. And we can't control that. But part of the mission is that we would go and at least share Jesus. Verse 6, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him, but if not, it will return to you. Verse 7, and remain in the same house, you got to love this, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. And so right here, we've got this understanding in this passage that part of what God has called us to do, yes, is among wolves. It's going to scare us into not wanting to fulfill what God has called us to fulfill at times. But the truth is that he is going to provide, and sometimes he's going to provide through other people. I'll be honest with you, one of the things that I used to have a huge struggle with, and sometimes I still struggle with, is when somebody wants to do something for me or my family. I feel like there's so many people in need. It's just hard to receive something sometimes. And what Jesus is saying here is that we shouldn't be in that mindset that we're unwilling and unable to receive something that somebody wants to bless us with. Maybe it's food, it's dinner, whatever it may be. But the truth is that God uses those people. That becomes a ministry for them to minister to us at times. I think it also just drives home, God is faithful. God is going to provide. He's going to make a way. If he calls you to do something, he's going to make a way. I think it also drives home another example where we see scripturally where, you know, there's something to us getting together and eating together. You know, in the welcome time, a lot of times, you know, I'll say things like, you know, invite these people over to your house today. Go meet somebody and invite them over for dinner today. Invite them over for lunch today or whatever it is. And you know, and part of that is, you know, it's hard for us just to walk into somebody's life and go, hey, how are you doing, by the way? What's going on with you? Especially if we don't hardly know them at all. But to have somebody over to your house and for them to sit down and for you to share your SpaghettiOs with them, now that's a big deal. Because all of a sudden, they're a captive audience. And they want to hear what you have to say. And when what you want to have to say is, how are you doing? What's going on with you? How can I pray for you? And from there, you're going to quickly figure out, you know, if this person probably knows Jesus or not. And if they don't know Jesus, then you're able to go there. You're able to say, do you know Christ? Do you have the peace that comes from having a relationship with him? Let's talk about that. And it becomes a gospel conversation. Verse 8, and when it goes, do not go from house to house, what it's talking about right there, by the way, at the end of verse 7 is, you know, don't take advantage of people. You know, if you're in the ministry, God's calling you to the ministry, don't take advantage of people. Don't just try to, you know, take advantage of everybody that you can, bouncing around from one place to the next. Verse 8, it goes on, it says, whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. We talked about that. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And basically, this is just a reminder. Jesus is reminding them, I've given you authority to do great things. I want to work through you. And in this particular situation, one of the things that was so hugely needed a lot of times because of the lack of medical care were people that were sick, helping deal with that and helping heal some of them. And God using these people that he's sending out to do that. God still heals, by the way, if you didn't know. Verse 10, but whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable in that day for Sodom than for that town. And he's basically saying, you know, you can't let when the gospel is not received well, you can't let that keep you from doing what God has called you to do. That's easy to say, but that's just the truth. Because the truth is, we all know people that probably don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Maybe you're sitting here today. Maybe you're kind of like, you know what? I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. I just came to church to make somebody happy or to hang out or, you know, the girl looked good or, you know, whatever it was. You know, but whatever it is, let me just kind of tell you something. Jesus loves you. He died on a cross for you. He took the death that we deserve for everything that we've ever done wrong. Give Jesus a chance. I want to ask Ben to join me, and I want him to come and share about what God has been doing in his heart to get him to this point, because this just doesn't happen, and, you know, one day all of a sudden you just decide, well, I'm going to plant a church now. You know, God has to kind of do some things here. I'm going to let him kind of tell stories and, you know, whatever in his life and, you know, how he came to here, so go for it.
Awesome. You guys all right? Good. I want to make sure you're with me. Just to give you a little bit of background, this is what I told in first service. Chris and I have known each other since 02-ish, right at the end of 02. And we were originally student ministers together in Collierville, Tennessee, which is outside of Memphis. And I had just started seminary. He was a youth pastor there. And I was looking for a job, you know, so I wouldn't starve during seminary. And I called the church and left a message, and he didn't get it for about a month. And somehow it got lost in the voicemail system there. And then he eventually got it. And so he gave me a call one day. I was sitting in the middle of a class. I got a call from a number I didn't know, and he left a message and invited me to come, you know, sit down for an interview. And so long story short, we began working together as student ministers. And worked together for several years there, and then he felt called to plant here, and I was still in the middle of school. So he came and started 24, and I just got kind of to see that happen, be a little bit of a part of it, but for the most part, see it happen and talk to him. I remember still I would call Chris every week for a while, and I go, how many did you have? I still remember first Sunday it was like 69, and then I used to have it, I just knew, just because I call him every week. Sunday afternoon, be like, how many did you guys have? And I'd hear about what God was doing, and it was cool, and got to visit a few times. But I continued seminary for like 2 years while 24 Church was started. And in that 2 years, God just really began to work on my heart to be excited about church planting and to learn about it. So I began to take classes about church planting. I began to read books about church planting. I was in constant conversations with Chris, and I kind of knew when I finished seminary that I was probably going to leave Collierville and come up here and help 24. And so that's what I did. And so I got here, I guess, in about 04, somewhere in there. And I think that's right. And no, 06.
We started in 05, so.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Timeline's crazy. 06. So I got here late 06, I think, and jumped on staff and been going with 24. And we kind of always knew that I would probably help plant a church at some point. I kind of knew that. Chris kind of knew that. We didn't know how it would come about or when that would flesh out or anything like that. But we've been talking about it since first year of the church. And I do specifically remember sitting down with him at the Starbucks or something one day and be like, what would it look like if 24 Church planted a church in every state in the U.S.? I mean, we're just thinking big dreams, like what would that look like? Or, you know, what if we planted a church every year? And so it's kind of been back there bubbling. And so I knew it would happen at some point. And then the current story is about 6 months ago or whatever, we were blessed with the Whitfield family. And they came on staff here and started attending. And Keith was talking about planting a church. And so I was kind of in the back of my head talking about planting a church. Keith was talking about planting a church. And one day in the office, I was sitting at my desk, and Chris was right around the corner. And I heard Keith talking to Chris, and Keith said something to stand up. He said, what would you think about Logan helping me plant a church? Said this to Chris. And I kind of overheard that. Because in my mind, Logan was coming with me whenever I planted a church. Logan didn't know that. Because I knew Nathan wouldn't die if I took him, and I knew Logan could play guitar and sing well. So I was like, he's coming. And he was a godly guy, and we had a good friendship. And so when I heard Keith say that, I kind of got up from my desk and peeked out in the hallway. I said, "You can't take him. He's mine." And Keith was like, "Oh, okay, you know." And then we both like talked to Logan like that week. Like, "Hey, you want to be my worship leader if I plant a church?" You know, so there was kind of all that going on. But out of that conversation, I think it was Keith and Joey began talking. And they began talking about what would it look like if, yeah, Joey's the master. He just winked. He's the mastermind. But the idea began to come about. What would it look like if Keith and I and Logan and whoever else, what if we all started a church together? And maybe once that church was started, then one of us would leave. Keith said, what if we get you going, and then in a year or two or however long, what if then I leave and go plant another church? Because really the big vision for 24, we've been talking about this as a staff for over a year, is to just keep on planting churches in Middle Tennessee, in Nashville, anywhere they're needed as God opens doors. We want to start a movement. You know, we want to have a DNA. So there's a DNA here. We kind of do a church a certain way. It's not the only way, but it's exciting. And what we'd like to do is keep planting churches and keep transplanting part of this DNA to a new church and keep sending people out. So that in another year, 24 is starting another church, and Chris is up here again going, "Would any of you like to go? You should pray about going." And we're at the same time going, "We just started, but would any of you like to go and help plant this church? Because we would like to do that." And then when that church is planted in a year or two, they go, "We would like to start another church, and 24 is sending some folks, and Basilea is sending some folks, and we're going to send some folks. Would you like?" And we just keep transplanting this DNA, not of consumer Christians, but of missionaries who say, "I care about doing what Jesus said, which is reaching people, proclaiming the kingdom and the gospel to people who do not understand it or haven't heard it or haven't ever seen it lived out in a legitimate, realistic way that didn't just look like religion but looked like a life-changing movement." And so that's what we're about. So that's kind of how this got birthed. And so we began meeting together, Keith, myself, Logan, and then Josh Gibson. Josh is right there. And Josh is actually, this is what's cool, is Josh and Zach Aaron and some others of you are all part of the original Collierville group. When, you know, they were like students when we were student ministers, and they threw up when we made them drink stupid stuff because that's how we used to reach kids, you know. Zach especially. I think you have permanent damage from how many times we made you throw up. Yeah, seriously. Drank 44 ounces of salsa in like 10 seconds once. It was amazing. Sorry.
Good times.
But we're all planting this bad boy. And so that's kind of how this came about. Sorry. Yeah, I really.
That's pretty awesome. I like that. Ben actually led worship for us the very first weekend that we met as a church at the elementary school because we didn't have a worship leader. I was afraid there for a while I was going to have to do it. I had done that for a long period of time and traveled doing it and all that stuff. But it's like, there's no way I could do both things. And so Ben actually came up from West Tennessee that weekend for the first weekend and led worship for us. And then within that next week, God worked out Nathan finally listening to Jesus and coming on board. That's a whole other story for another day. Tell us specifically about, let's talk about East Nashville. Paint the picture for our folks why we need this church where we do.
Well, there's, according to our estimates, or not really our estimates, the Tennessee Baptist Association's estimates, there's 44,000 people-ish in 37206. That's the area code we're trying to reach. That's all the way from the other side of the river on up till, I think it's, I always forget how to say, Cahal Street. That's kind of where it ends, if you know that area at all. 44,000 people. And the best estimates are that it's 80% unchurched. So you figure that's 30-some thousand people who aren't even going to church. Now, of those people that are going to church, my guess is some of them don't really know Jesus. They're just caught in Bible Belt religion. So there's a lot of people that need to come face-to-face with the reality of the gospel and hear about it. And so we're not looking to enter in and compete with other churches or anything. We just want to go say, hey, there's 30 some odd thousand people that don't know Jesus, and we want to love some of them and tell them about the gospel. So beyond that, the area is real diverse. You've got pockets that are nearly all white, and then two streets over, it's nearly all African American. But I think Lewis McMullen says there's like over 30 different ethnicities just in Nashville metro, at least. So, and this is one of the diverse areas, and it's diverse ethnically, it's diverse socioeconomically. You've got government housing right next to million-dollar homes. I mean, it's all over there. You've got stuff that's just awful looking and stuff that's beautiful. And so we're hoping to get in there and really paint a picture again of what the kingdom looks like. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but heaven won't look like this. You know, it'll be way more diverse. So if you're not comfortable outside of this, you got a rude awakening. Heaven might be really crappy for you for a little bit till you get used to that, unless Jesus does some work in your heart. But we want to try, and that's 24's heart too, we want to try to start representing that now, you know what I mean? Because that's going to speak to the world, the fact that we're different. You know, if our schools are more integrated than our churches, there's problems. So.
It's true. The deal with East Nashville, there's a long history, and I'll spare you all of it for you. But
you might know it better than I do.
There's a lot of transition that has happened in East Nashville over the last 50 years. There was a point in East Nashville where it was kind of an it place to be, and the churches there were booming. I used to be on staff at one of these churches that years after the fact was no longer booming, but they all talked about the heyday of, well, you remember when we had, and remember when it was like this. Kind of what's happened is you've got some very large churches, church buildings, that are scattered all over East Nashville. There's a lot of churches down there, but the truth is that a lot of them have died, and there are a lot that are on death's door. Huge facilities running 30 and 40, 50 people on a Sunday morning. Honestly, many of them on the brink of death, like we know. I know a pastor at one of those churches, and I know for a fact that, you know, they don't know. They don't know how they're going to pay their bills. They don't know what they're going to do, and there's a good chance that many of these churches are, you know, going to die, end up selling the property off to who knows what, you know, probably schools, and be demolished or whatever it is. So, you know, there's a huge need for a church, for churches to be in that area, to begin again reaching, because there's been a lot of movement back into that area. A lot of people moved back into that area, especially after the tornado hit and all that stuff, and a lot of the reconstruction happened on these older homes, and you could go down there and buy a big house for nothing, and now they're expensive. Yeah. But the truth is there's just a huge, huge need for there to be a gospel teaching church, for gospel teaching churches, plural, to be there trying to minister and reach the lost. And that's where you guys come in. So we're excited about this. This is something that we're not just like talking about. They start tonight, if you didn't know. Like, yeah. What time? You guys starting at 6?
At 6, yeah.
And you guys are going to be meeting at?
Edgefield Baptist Church, which is right there on East Park, if you know the area at all. You can, if you're looking at East Park, you can see Edgefield. It's a beautiful old 100-year-old church building. And they've very graciously invited us to come in there and use their fellowship hall. And that's a God thing. Like, we didn't do anything to make that happen. We didn't, you know, shake hands with the right politicians or anything. The pastors there are just awesome guys. And
that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
That they're going to be able to meet at one of these churches. Because I have talked to so many guys within the church planning realm about that area and how they have not been received well. In talking about planning a church, possibly using church facilities of some of these churches that are dying. I mean, you think this is simple, but it's not simple because we're human beings and we're sinful in nature and we don't want to think about something else coming along and it possibly being the thing that might, you know, encompass the whole thing. You know, so, you know, we're asking, we've been asking, I'm asking again, that you may be here today and maybe you're supposed to be a part of this. You'd be okay with anybody that might want to, you know, pray about like moving to East Nashville and being missionaries in East Nashville and joining with you guys to help plant church, right?
Yes. We, that's what we need. I mean, our strategy basically, we're still figuring it out. But part of it is we just want to go be in the area. We want to go eat at the restaurants in the area. We want to move into the area. We want to walk our dogs in the parks in the area and meet folks and love on them and get to know them and have barbecues at our house. And we got one of those planned. We're announcing tonight in like 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to have a barbecue in a park before we meet on a Sunday afternoon. And we're just going to try to invite people and love on them. We just want to form relationships with people. Because here's what I think is the case. I think a lot of the people down there, definitely the people that are my age down there, are probably, if they're not going to church right now, they might hate church. And they might hate Christians. And they might do so somewhat legitimately because the only picture they've seen painted in the media or by the people they know are either like, okay, well, all you are is like this political party, or all you are is you think only this way and you hate people that are different than you. And like, that's not a legitimate picture of Christianity, but that's probably the only picture that a lot of people, especially my generation, very cynical, very turned off, that's all they've ever seen. So we've got to go in there and we've got to show them something different. Because the gospel is different, and because we are different. And so we've got to be careful to live lives in such a way that it's evident that we are different, and form relationships with these people and love on them, and grow the church. But we would love for you guys to come. Here's a couple things. We would love for you guys to consider joining us. Man, just come visit a couple times and see if you feel like he might be working on your heart, you're not sure, come check it out. And pray about it. We want you to come if God's telling you to come. We also would love, I've talked to a bunch of you that have said, oh, I have family that lives kind of in that area. I have some friends that kind of live in that area. I know some people. Please come visit us for a Sunday evening core group meeting and bring your friends with you. It's a atmosphere where you could bring them. And I don't care if they're the most low-down person in the world or they seem like they have everything together. Invite them and let us meet them. And potentially they could become part of our church. So.
Definitely. And we've got people that are going, they've prayed and they feel like God is leading them to go for like 6 months or a year or 2 years and be missionaries there, but they're not going to move there. But we're encouraging people to pray about moving there and be missionaries to that community. This is no different than missionaries go overseas. And the truth is it's much easier for us to even stomach something like that because we're already here. Our jobs are already here. And many of you already work in Nashville. Your life is very much in Nashville. And so, pray about that. There's great Mexican restaurants there, by the way. So, not that I would know. I want to read a little more of this passage while Ben's still up here with me. And this is kind of the return of the 72 that we see. In verse 17, we see this. It says, the 72 return with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And they're jacked up. There's exclamation points everywhere. I mean, you kind of get the inference of just how, excited they are. And he goes on and says, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And again, we have Jesus just driving home that if God is calling us to go out, if he's going to send us out to do something, and he is, he's sending all of us out to do something, but that Jesus is saying, you've got the authority. It says, verse 19, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Now, I want to state something that's real clear. This is really important, especially when you're, because this is alluding to Satan and demons and, that kingdom at large. And Jesus is saying, you have power over that. By the way, you do. You have power over that. If you didn't know, if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, then Satan does not have power over you. And you need to know that. You don't ever need to think that. But then he's going on further here, and he's saying, not only that, but, it's great that you guys have this authority, but nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. And what he's saying, don't get caught up in thinking that, like, you've got some kind of power, that your power over that is, like, the thing that you need to rejoice in. He goes on, he says that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. He's saying rejoice in who God is. Rejoice that he has saved you. Rejoice in the cross. Rejoice in the gospel. Don't get caught up so much in like, you know, what you can do for the kingdom and rejoicing in that. Rejoice in Jesus and let that be enough. And just in thinking about that and knowing that, you know, again, we're just reminded that when God calls us to do something, God is calling you to do something huge, calling you guys to do something huge, he's going to take care of you. He's going to give you the authority and the power to go and do what he's called to do, and he's going to provide, whether it's through meals out of people's homes or whatever it may be. It's just awesome. Just awesome to be reminded of that. I want to ask all of the Basileia folks that are here this morning. By the way, Basileia means, go ahead.
Means kingdom.
Yeah.
Kingdom of God.
So I had somebody ask me that in the first service. I want to ask all of our folks that are going to Basileia that know for sure that they're going to join us. And I want you just to kind of pan out, you know, down here, down front. And we're actually going to have a time here in the service where I want the folks of 24 Church to come and pray over these people. This is an awesome opportunity. I want you guys kind of spread out, go way out further. I want everybody that wants to be involved in getting to pray for you guys to get to do that. And I don't want the fact that you want to stand in front of the stage, you know, keep them from doing that. So, you know, spread. Don't be afraid. Spread out. Go ahead and go down a little bit. I want because we're gonna have a lot of people come down for this. Don't be afraid. You can go in front of the speakers. They won't kill you. Contrary to popular belief. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, if you're willing to do so, I want you just to come on down right now, and we're going to pray over these people. We're going to lay hands on them, and we're going to pray for these folks, and we're going to pray for what God is doing. So go ahead. Let's do it. Come on. I'm going to guide you just a little bit with your prayer. Then I'm going to give you a few moments to pray, and then we're going to sing together and sing over them and what God is calling them to do, which is an awesome, awesome thing. Awesome opportunity we have as a church to get to send people out. So awesome. This is not something that everybody's getting to do this morning and pray over this morning. We need to pray for some things specifically. I'm going to give you a few things for you to pray over them with. You're welcome to pray out loud if you want to over them. You can pray silently if you want to, but I want to give you a few things to pray for them. You need to pray, number one, that God will provide for them, that he'll provide for their ministry to do the things that they have called them to do. That he will provide for the families that are making large sacrifices to do this financially, possibly moving, whatever it may be. That God would provide for the church, places to meet, open doors for all those things. That God would use them for the glory of God and to reach the lost for the glory of God. Let's just pray for them right now. God, we lift up these that are being faithful to you. God, I pray that you would have your hand on them, protect them, guide them, and direct them. God, above all, be glorified through them, through this church that is being started today. God, what an awesome thing that we get to sit back and just even watch you work in the lives of these people. You are being glorified right now, just even through that. Thank you for letting us get to be a part of it. God, may we spend the next few moments just singing to you how great you are. Send us out, Jesus.
Let worship be the fuel for mission's flame. Yes, we're going with a passion for your name. We're going cause we care about your praise. Send us out, out, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, you should be the praise of every tongue. Jesus, you should be. Out, sing out, yeah, send us out, we join in, send us out, send us out. Yes, you should be the praise of every tongue. You should be the joy of every heart.
Sing that again.
Yes, you should be the praise of every tongue. He's our praise, he's our joy. And you should be the joy of every heart. Until the fullness of your kingdom come, until that final revelation dawns.
Sing this out.
Send us out. Send us out.
It's our hearts.
Send us out.
Something. We try to be very open about our church's budget and where we spend money. If you didn't see the budget that we made at the end of last year for 2011, there is a very large chunk of that budget that is not for us. It is for church planting, and it is specifically to help start Basilea Church. So as you're giving and you're praying about what you're giving, I hope that you spend time praying over what you give and that you ask God to use it, multiply it, and use it for His kingdom, that He'd be glorified through it. But as you do that, remembering to pray for Basilea, and that as we give, we're giving to them, we're giving to help support them. And God may lead you to help support them outside of your normal tithes and offerings here at 24. That'd be awesome. Do that. You can go to their website and find out how to do that, and we'll have all that stuff on social media later on today. Let's pray together for this offering today. God, we thank you for the act of worship and being able to bring back to you a portion of what is really just yours to begin with. And God, it's all yours. We're just managers of it. And God, I pray that we would be faithful with whatever it is that you lead us to do there, God. And I pray that you would take these tithes and offerings and that you would use them for your glory. Support this church. Lord, do great things through this church. God, both churches. God, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to give and send. God, may you be glorified through it.